UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Physicians at the University of Alabama and colleagues have discovered that administering the antibiotic azithromycin along with the standard recommended antibiotic regimen reduces infection rates by 50% for women who have non-elective cesarean delivery. My guest today is Dr. Alan Tita. He's a professor in the UAB Division of Maternal-Fetal Medicine and the Center for Women's Reproductive Health and principal investigator of the study. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tita. Since infection during pregnancy and during the post-pregnancy period is a major health problem for both mom and baby and a common underlying cause of death, what has typically been done to prevent the risk of infection?
Thank you, Melanie. It is a great pleasure to be here today. There are multiple types of infection that can occur during pregnancy, and generally screening is undertaken for risk factors, and this screening directs prevention. In the case of cesarean delivery infection, there are key interventions that can be taken, including minimizing those risk factors, such as prolonged labor, as well as prolonged membrane rupture. Also, a good surgical technique and attention to a sterile approach is important. There is also the need to prepare the skin prior to surgical incision, and then very importantly, providing antibiotics to prevent infection is paramount.
When do most of these infections occur?
Infections during pregnancy can occur pretty much at any time. But in the case of a cesarean delivery, you may have an infection called chorioamnionitis, that is infection of the membranes that surround the pregnancy as well as the placenta, can occur prior to delivery. But most infections associated with cesarean occur after delivery. A wound infection can occur any time up to the first 3 weeks after delivery. And the other infection called endometritis, which is an infection of the lining of the womb, can occur sometime within the first week.
So are there certain risk factors associated with infection post-cesarean delivery?
Yes. The most important, there are multiple, but the most important risk factor is having had labor prior to the cesarean delivery. So a cesarean delivery that's scheduled is associated with a low risk of infection, but undergoing labor is associated with a higher risk, as high as 12%.
So if a C-section is required, when have antibiotics typically been given to the patient?
In general, antibiotics are given prior to the cesarean incision. Recommendations would say up to 1 hour, but typically antibiotics are given when the decision to go to a cesarean delivery is made and the patient is being called to the operating room.
So, Dr. Tita, tell us about your research about administering additional antibiotic prior to C-section.
Great. I'm really glad to do this. So, in general, a cephalosporin antibiotic called cefazolin is routinely given up until now prior to cesarean delivery. However, as I indicated, up to 12% of women at high risk for infection, such as those who labor, may have an infection after cesarean delivery. These infections include wound infections and endometritis, and we therefore decided to test whether adding a second antibiotic called azithromycin would further reduce the risk of infection. We chose azithromycin because it acts against additional microbes that have often been associated with post-caesarean infection. And also, early studies looking at azithromycin suggested the fact that it may be associated with a lower risk of infection when added to the cephalosporin.
So what else did you find out as far as hospital readmission rates and unscheduled visits to a clinic afterward?
All right. So a great question. So what we did with this study is we enrolled approximately 2,000 women who participated in this trial. All of them got the usual cephalosporin antibiotic, and then half of them, approximately 1,000, got azithromycin, while the other half did not. And we found, as you indicated, that we reduced the risk of infection by 50%, from 12% to 6%. But we also found reductions in the need to be readmitted to the hospital after discharge from the delivery, hospitalization, as well as just the need to go back to an emergency room or to the clinic to complain about health problems that typically would be associated with an infection or with a wound complication.
So was there also a reduction in overall antibiotic use due to this intervention?
Yes, we did find that as well, which makes sense, because by reducing the risk of an infection by 50%, we therefore reduced the likelihood of women getting antibiotics for treatment for infections.
So are you poised to perform multiple follow-up investigations? Tell us about what you're planning to do.
One of the most important, findings is the fact that these women got the azithromycin prior to delivery, meaning that their babies were exposed to this medication. Azithromycin is a medication that we commonly use for other reasons in pregnancy. But there is some concern that babies exposed to azithromycin may behave differently. This is not something that has been proven over the long term. So what we hope to do is to follow up these babies born to women who were enrolled in this trial down the road at, say, 5 to 7 years of age to determine whether there may be differences in how they have behaved from a GI, gastrointestinal standpoint. Do they have more gastrointestinal complaints? Do they have, also how is the brain development in these patients? Overall, there is very little out there for us to be very concerned about this, but I think it's important to do this kind of follow-up to continue to reassure patients and providers that this intervention is safe.
And for the future, will this translate to reduced healthcare costs? Where do you see it going?
Yes, that's in fact currently we've done some additional studies, and just looking at studies of antibiotic prophylaxis, when you reduce these infections, you have a huge impact on the costs associated with infections that can be really very high. So we know that by reducing infections by 50%, this will translate to a reduction in the healthcare costs overall.
And in the last few minutes, Dr. Tita, how can a community physician refer a patient to UAB Medicine?
Oh, the most important, the most useful way of doing that is to call the missed line or to call the referral line at UAB, and there will be an attendant who will direct the community provider to the right service for the problem.
And tell us about your team. Why is UAB so great to work with?
UAB is great to work with because it's a very multidisciplinary organization. There is an emphasis on team approach, so by being here at UAB, you are able to have access to multiple specialists in other areas, which is very important for appropriate clinical care, as well as for good research implementation.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Tita. You're listening to UAB Medcast. And for more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.